Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Cairn Hill this morning. I just have a little announcement before we start. So we have a processional hymn to lead us into worship this morning. So please remain seated while we sing and as we welcome God's word for us this morning. Thank you.
A buoyancy and happy vibe in the church this morning, and it's lovely all to be together, and particularly I feel quite honoured to be invited to preach in this first service of us coming together as one since Norman's retirement. And what a do that was, wasn't it? It was just wonderful, and I've been speaking to them since, and they described it as one of the happiest days of their lives. So we're all so happy for Norman and Karen, and we continue to uphold them in our thoughts and prayers as the days and weeks progress, because no doubt, having flitted fairly recently myself, it's quite a challenging task. Reflecting on the services last week, I was preaching at Limekilns, and our Alistair, there he is in the back row there. I'm actually really surprised that Alistair is with us this morning, because I fully expected Glasgow Pavilion Theatre to have him booked up for the rest of the year. We both preached a little on all the good things that could happen in the months to come, but some challenges as well. But Alistair was particularly hilarious, and he did so well. But it's great to have him here this morning. And we go forth trusting that all is well, and Jesus is the light of the world, he's the light of our lives, and it is he that leads us on. Now, Derek, do you give the intimations before the call to worship, dear?
Yes.
Yes, you do, right? Well,
Rob.
Rob. Okay, Rob, thank you very much. Rob,
thanks, Janice. Morning and welcome, everyone. Morning. Welcome to our first ever new pattern of joint services, especially all of those who have travelled from Limekilns. And any newcomers or visitors may wish to sign our visitor's book. We will be led in worship today by Reverend Janice Andrews, and welcome, Janice. Please stay if you can after worship for teas and coffees and a chat, and please note that our service next week will be in Limekilns Church. Now, there's been one or two additional intimations put on which will not show up on the screens. One is for Limekilns themselves. On the 11th of May, 6:30 and 7:30, there's first aid training awareness. At 6:30 is the paediatric, and at 7:30 is the general, and that's in the Gellett Hall. Interim moderator. The Very Reverend Dr. Ian Greenshields has been appointed as our interim moderator now that our period of vacancy has begun. Ian will preach at the joint services in Limekilns next Sunday, 10th May, and at Cairn Hill on the Sunday the 17th of May. Annual appeal for unwanted chocolate. The chocolate dip at our Gallagher Hall each June remains popular. We are aware that chocolate is now even more expensive than ever, but we are still seeking donations for the dip. Please bring contributions to Cairn Hill Church on the 17th of May or the 7th of June. At the coffee morning yesterday, £257 was raised. Well done, everyone. And this was raised for Christian Aid. Thanks to all involved. Cycling group. The next C4 outing is next Saturday, the 9th of May. The venue will be in Central or East Fife. More information can be had from Derek on 882190. The walking group. The next outing is Sunday the 24th of May to Lochleven near Vane Farm, with a coffee stop, as usual, at Lochleven Lodges. Meet at 2 p.m. in the church car park. Lego Club. There will be a Lego Club event at Cairnhill Church on Saturday the 30th of May between 10 and 11:30. Kids get to build something from a well-known Bible story and must be accompanied by a parent. Admission is free and tea and coffee is available for adults. Please contact Irene Scott. This is going on longer than a sermon. Cairnhill Community Gardening Group. Our new gardening group is meeting every Thursday afternoon at 2 p.m. in the man's garden. It is hoped to get on with cultivating the ground and planting the first crops soon. Other intimations. There are further intimations on the printed sheet. This can be viewed on Facebook or downloaded from our website if you do not have a copy. There is also a printed insert sheet with Limekiln's intimations available in church. We will be able to include Limekiln's intimations on screen for future services here. Please note also that the Masonic Hall car park can now be used on Sundays when services are in Cairnhill. Finally, for those on YouTube or Zoom, here is a look at the order of service. Thank you all.
Thank you, Rob. I forgot actually to welcome those listening online. Lovely to know that people are joining us from their homes this morning as well. I'll pray sincerely for the person charged with taking care of the chocolate, Rob, because I know it won't last 2 minutes in my house. Our call to worship is from the Psalms. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. Let us celebrate our Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world, as we sing together, Shine, Jesus, Shine.
Oh,
loving Father, we present these gifts to you. We ask that you would add your richest blessing upon them. May they be used for the work of your kingdom. For we long to contribute, to play our part in caring for those who are uppermost in your mind at this time, those seeking the comfort of your love. So send us out in Jesus' name to serve you with our lives. Amen. Thank you, Rosemary. Well, let's come together with a prayer of adoration and confession to our Lord. Loving Father, draw ever closer to us as we gather as one body to worship and adore you. We are in awe of who you are. We see you in the beauty of the earth. The rising sun bathes the land in its light, awakening everything in its path, heralding a new day. Animals scurry in the undergrowth and birds rejoice in song at the dawning of each new morning. You are the creator of all life, and yet you are not aloof from us. You are so near. We hear you in the silence. We find you in the stillness. Calm our anxious hearts. Bring quietness to our minds. Bless us with the deep, deep peace of Christ, that we may truly be still and know that you are God. Because of the supreme sacrifice of Jesus, we are heirs to your eternal kingdom of joy. Such knowledge is too wonderful for us. And we rejoice in all that you are and in all that your hands have made. May we have a greater desire to serve you with our lives, in our church, our community, and in the wider world. May our arms be your arms, reaching out to those who need the comfort of your love. May we be your eyes and ears, noticing the needs of others and responding. We thank you for sending your Son into this world, who taught us so much, and we come before you now with the prayer that he taught us to say. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, now and forevermore. Amen. Well, I think the next hymn probably is one, a favourite of us all. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
readings, and one of our readings is from Acts this morning. And I often think that the book of Acts could be entitled, What Happened Next? We're going to be doing it very soon at the Bible study, Janie. We're looking forward to that at Mary's home on a Monday morning. It's a great morning out. The book of Acts was written by Luke, same Luke that wrote the Gospel. And in the Gospel, he writes about the birth of our Lord. He writes about the ministry and the death and resurrection of Jesus. And in the book of Acts, he carries on where he left off, writing first of all about the ascension of Jesus, and then about how the disciples felt it was a priority to restore their numbers to 12 again after the betrayal of Judas Iscariot. They were down to 11. So the first thing they do is appoint another apostle called Matthias. The opening chapters focus in the ministry of mainly Peter, but Peter and John, and everything that happens in and around Jerusalem. So the gospel is spreading, but it hasn't yet spread to other lands. At this stage, the church is like a wee bird, just a fledgling. It's beautiful, but it's vulnerable, very small and very contained. The disciples are bold in their preaching and teaching, persuading others to accept Jesus Christ as their Saviour and as the Messiah of Israel. And growth continues despite the hostility from the Jewish leaders and the temple guards. Believers are under constant threat of persecution. And this means that growth and development and joy live side by side with hostility, trials and challenges. And this theme flows throughout the whole book of Acts. Something wonderful happens, but we can be sure that there will be a setback. As you know, I'm an Ayrshire lassie, and as they say in Ayrshire, there's aye something. Wherever the word of God is proclaimed and his people are full of faith, we can expect opposition. For there is an evil power in the world who just is motivated by delaying and upsetting the work of God and stalling his kingdom. And I've no doubt that in the weeks and the months to come, we will experience unity as we have this morning, in growth and joy in our church, but inevitably we will also can expect trials and setbacks, and we have to look to God, the author and perfecter of our faith, and move on and keep our focus on Christ. Wouldn't it be great if the road before us was just a straight highway with just a straight journey through life? But life is not like that. More often, the road before us is full of twists and turns, deviations, and even the occasional dead end. I know I've had a few in my life. But we've got to stay positive. Challenges build us up in character building stuff, and they require courage and perseverance as we seek to move forward. And remember God's word to all of us. He says, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. In all things. Not just in the good times, not just in the seasons of growth, when everything's going well, but when we reflect on our troubles and our trials of the past, it's quite often only with hindsight that we can actually see that God was bringing in time the fullness of blessing. Chapter 4 of Acts opens with poor Peter and John being arrested and having to spend a night in jail. What was their crime, I hear you asking? Well, they had healed a poor man who had been lame since birth. He'd spent his whole life begging in the temple. Everyone knew him because he was in the same spot every day. His friends would bring him along and place him. And so everyone knew of this gentleman. And when he was healed, you can just imagine the news spread through the whole of the temple courts. And it couldn't be kept a secret because the gentleman was literally jumping for joy. Everyone was amazed, but not the religious leaders. When they heard about this, they go to the temple to investigate, and they are not impressed. This healing has been carried out in the name of Jesus Christ, the one whom they had crucified to put an end to his life and an end to his teaching. Little did they know that this was only the beginning. After the night in jail, Peter and John are called to stand before the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin is the name given to the Jewish court of law, a body of men only, made up of priests, Pharisees, lawyers, and Sadducees. They're at a loss what to do. Everyone knows this gentleman. Everyone knows he has been lame since birth, and they can't deny that he's running about proclaiming the healing by Jesus. And so very reluctantly, they let Peter and John go, but command them never to speak Christ's name again. Peter shows tremendous bravery when he answers them back, saying, well, what are we to do? What's the right thing for us to do? Should we listen to God or should we listen to you? We cannot help but speak openly about what we have seen and heard. Later on that day, they return to the house where all their friends have gathered to pray for them. And of course, the friends think they might never see Peter and John again. So they are over the moon. And in this short passage, we have moved through so many different emotions: elation and growth, challenges and setbacks, fear and uncertainty, thanksgiving and joy. And this is life. In whatever season we are journeying, whether it's in our own lives or the life of our church, let us trust always that God is bringing a greater good. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him. And we will now enjoy our scripture readings. Thank you, Rob.
The first reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 4, and it's verses 32 to 37, the believer's share. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. From time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold the field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. The second reading is from John's Gospel, chapter 15, verses 1 to 17, and it's entitled The Vine and the Branches. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, to lay down one's life for our friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know what master's business is, Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other. Amen, and may God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Thank you, Rob. Isn't it amazing that we have a Saviour who refers to us as his friends? Let's sing our next hymn together, Bind Us Together, Lord. God, it is a great privilege to pray for one another, and we are very thankful for those who pray for us. We are blessed to have friends like this in our lives, and we remember Norman and Karen this morning, our dear friends, and we thank you for the time of rest and enjoyment they're having. We ask that this continues and that you help them to navigate away through the move and all the trials that that will bring in the weeks to come. We pray for our church. Help us to be one with each other, to truly bind together, celebrating our shared roots in our Lord Jesus Christ. We uphold the proposed union before you, and we leave outstanding matters with you. Help us to trust in your timing and to press on with whatever task you have called us to do. You are the one who opens doors and who guides us forward. But we also understand, Father, that there are times when you keep doors firmly closed. Help us to be patient and to trust that when you delay, there is a good reason. Your plans are so much greater than ours, and it is your plans that we seek. May your will come to pass. God of healing, we pray for those broken in mind, body, or spirit, those whose lives have been destroyed by war, who have lost everything. Only you can reach their innermost being, Lord. Console them, Lord, and carry them through their darkest days. Rest your healing hand upon the sick, and we remember those facing surgery or serious treatments in the weeks to come. May they feel your nearness. We pray for this broken and undivided world, where some have wealth beyond imagining and others are destitute. May your Holy Spirit fall afresh upon the nations. May there be a great turning to you, that the values of your kingdom may be sought on this earth, and there may be a greater sharing of all that you have given. We uphold our beloved before you. We entrust them to your care. May they stand in the flow of your grace and be caught up in your great ocean of love. Father, hear our prayer. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, to take us into the word that God has for us this morning, and just considering the time and all that's happening in our church just now, I think it's important that we ask God, whether it's in prayer or praise, to be our vision. So we're going to sing together, Be Thou My Vision. Thank you, George. Peter and John being arrested because of the healing of the lame beggar in Jesus' name, and then the joy of their friends when Peter and John are released without coming to any harm, there is a massive boost of confidence and excitement in the very early church. Remember, at this time in history, church is simply a body of believers. There were no buildings. There was no such thing as going to church. Followers of Jesus met in one another's homes, and they also met in synagogues. The synagogue was the most natural place to be, for believers had worshipped there all of their lives up until now, because all of them up until this point, they all came from the background of Judaism, as did the 12 disciples and John the Baptist before them. Those following Jesus were all Jewish by tradition at this point. The church was a fledgling. It had not yet spread beyond the Jewish community. In the years to come, the Apostle Paul will be called to take the gospel out to the Gentiles, the name given to people who are not Jews. But for now, believers are all Israelites, and they are all based in and around Jerusalem, believing that Jesus is fulfillment of their faith, the promised Messiah of Israel, Saviour of the world. But this doesn't mean that instantly they turned their back on their lifelong Jewish traditions. They continued to attend synagogues where they were allowed to speak. Men could stand up and speak freely in the synagogue. And of course, believers in Jesus had this new teaching, and they too were invited to share what they knew of the gospel, and they did this with great zeal, often convincing fellow Israelites to accept Christ as their own Lord and Saviour. So in the early days, synagogues were places where the gospel could be shared. However, this new teaching became more and more controversial, and very soon synagogues became places of hostility towards any teaching about Jesus, and doors were very firmly closed to believers. And so they met whenever and as often as they could in one another's homes and in the open air. They were a close-knit community, enjoying a sense of belonging to one another, and we know how special that is because we have it here too. At this time, the word Christian wasn't being used. People who believed in Jesus were referred to as followers of the way. This was a great time for believers. They were on a high. So encouraged were they to hear of the lame beggar, thrilled to bits that Peter and John were safe, and full of admiration that Peter had been brave enough to stand up to the Sanhedrin and say, "Who are you to tell us what to do? Should we not be listening to God instead?" It's always dangerous to speak truth to power. It was then, and it is now. But in these moments, the believers are experiencing fulfillment of God's promise written in the Psalms: "The Lord is on my side, and I will not fear." In our reading from Acts 4, we're given a picture of the perfect church. Everyone's caring for one another, and they're sharing all that they have with one another, some even selling land or property and going to the apostles and putting the funding in their hands so that most the people who are most needy can be looked after. One of these believers was Barnabas, son of Encouragement, and we will be hearing about him in the weeks to come. But these believers are being true to God's command to love one another. But what truly binds them together is that they are all rooted in Christ Jesus. They love him deeply, and they live only to serve him. They are grafted into his life. He is the vine, and they are the branches. His life flows in and through them. And because of their belonging to him, they cannot fail but to grow in all that is of him. And nothing has changed. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Jesus teaches in John chapter 15 how necessary it is for us to cling to him. For in doing so, we will bear fruit, for we can do nothing else, because the fruit is not from us, it is from the vine. With his life flowing through us, we can be sure that the harvest of goodness and kindness and patience and gentleness will be evident in our lives despite us. And when we share this with one another, then inevitably growth in the church will come. It cannot fail to come because it is rooted in our Lord. However, we will from time to time experience pruning. God wants us to be bearers of fruit in abundance. All gardeners know that in order to get the best crop, it is necessary at times to cut back, to shed anything that is dead, trusting that new life will come. And we must trust God to prune any areas of our lives that are not pleasing to him. This may be uncomfortable at times, and it may be a source of frustration. But what we must remember is how intimately known we are to God. God doesn't simply know us as we are and as we have been. He knows all that it's possible for us to be. And in his hands and with his life flowing through us, we can't begin to imagine what God may bring to pass. We must cling to him, accept the seasons of pruning, and trust that in his perfect timing, God will bring the greatest good. He doesn't ask us to sell our homes and possessions as the earliest believers did. But what he does ask is that we will consider surrendering our lives to him. Cling to the vine. We can do nothing on our own, but in Christ all things are possible. May he have his will in our lives and in the life of our beloved church. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Loving Father, what a wonderful reminder, Lord, of who you are. You are the vine, Father. We pray, Lord, that you will help us always to cling to you. We seek your life-giving blood through our lives, that we may live in you and you in us. May we be very small instruments in your great hands, that we may serve you in our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's just been lovely to share with you this morning. And I think you'll know why we've chosen the last hymn, Past Put Behind Us, For the Future Take Us, Lord, For the Years. Thank you, George. Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the power and fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us and with all those whom we so very deeply love, both now and forevermore. Amen.